Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. Had we had been here just before sunrise at 7:11 a.m. this morning, we would have gathered in total darkness. The sun sets, the sun rises. It always does, it always has, and it always will. At least in our lifetime. We don't give it a second thought. No big deal, right? Some days we don't actually even see the sun rise. I'm not talking about those days when we are still asleep, snuggled under our covers. I'm speaking about those days that are overcast and gloomy. Sometimes we can go days without seeing the sun. Thank goodness that winter in Ohio is now over. At least I think so. But even when we cannot see it, the sun is still there. This morning we remember that sunrise when Mary and Peter and the other disciple made their way to the tomb that held Jesus. It was early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, when Mary first saw the stone rolled away from the opening of the tomb, the Gospel of John reports. Mary then, in her fear and concern, ran to tell the others. Then running back, returning to the tomb, Mary, Peter, and the other disciple scarcely noticed whether or not the sun was shining. As far as they were concerned, it was still a very dark day. Emptiness hung in the air. A deep gloom had settled over them, gloom that might take a lifetime to lift. but then would never completely leave them. Jesus, the one who had given them such hope, the one whom they had followed, whom they had loved, had been killed. He had suffered an awful death. Since he had died just before the Sabbath began, there was no time in order to anoint the body for burial. And now, early on that Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary had gone to the tomb with spices to anoint the body. It was to be the last act of compassion, the last act of respect and love shown to Jesus. Whether or not the sun was shining really made no difference at all. It was a dark day. Sunrise, sunset, no big deal. But on this day, it became a big deal. Soon the sun would be shining, their darkness lifted, their emptiness would turn to incredible joy. When they arrived, they found an empty tomb. The sun, now shining, allowed them to see the linen wrappings lying there on the floor of the tomb. The sun, now shining, allowed Mary to recognize Jesus standing right in front of her. Suddenly, the sun was shining as never before. She ran with joyful abandon to tell the other disciples. Back in town, gathered behind closed doors, the disciples were filled with grief. Mary came rushing in to tell them the great news, but to them at first it didn't sound like good news. It seemed like an idle tale of some hysterical woman. Dead men don't come back to life. Angels don't hang around in tombs. Mary's words, her excitement, were not going to dispel their darkness. They could not see the light for all of the gloom. Sunrise, sunset, it was no big deal. But the fact of the matter is this: even when we cannot see or even believe it, the sun rises. And even if they could not yet see it or believe it, Jesus was alive. Light dispelled darkness. Love conquered hate. The power of God was greater than the power of evil. Life triumphed over death. The sun rose. This assures us that in the midst of the darkness, the emptiness, the grief, the gloom in our lives, the sun will still rise. This is not simply to say that in time we'll get over it, or that things will look brighter tomorrow. This is to say that beyond the hurt and the pain and the darkness, God brings resurrection. God brings new life. Now, there are times and will be times in our lives when our hopes and our dreams, our futures are really dead. It's not just that things will be okay. It's in those moments and those yet to come, Jesus gives us hope through the resurrection, assurance that nothing less than new life is possible, even here, even now. Even in those moments when hurt and grief are so deep that we cannot even see it or believe it. Where we suffer from hardship and injustice, new life is possible. Where there is the crushing heartache of loneliness or betrayal or divorce, there can be new life. When we have fallen into self-destructive patterns of living, when we have become trapped in addictions of all sorts, there can be a new beginning. When relationships have stretched to the breaking point, when ill will has been replaced with mutual care, there can be new life. When faith has become little more than a dying flicker, when life has lost its meaning, when hope has been replaced with numbness, there can be resurrection. You see, Easter tells us that there is far more to life than we can see with our own eyes. That there is a reality greater than that which we can prove. Easter reminds us that even in the darkness, God is there. It assures us that nothing in the universe is stronger than God's love. And that in the end, God's love will win. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, Paul writes. Not even the loss of those whom we love. Not even in our own dying. For we have the promise of resurrection, both in this life and in the life to come. Oh, in the midst of life, God is there. The sun will rise indeed. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the psalm says it so well. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sunrise has come. The morning is here. Christ is risen. Jesus is alive. Thanks be to God. Amen.